At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So I'm sitting in there, I'm like, Jan, you know, I could just walk up there and just start swinging because I'm batting behind them. So I could walk up there and just start following pitches up.
What's up, everyone? It is Hot Sheet from Baseball America. Please get yourself a BA subscription, but also make sure you're subscribing to the Baseball America YouTube channel. That is free, and you can check out Baseball America's podcast page as well. It's Scotty Braun along with Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Ben Badler, and we are going to jump right into a big debut coming up because we are talking to Trey Morgan in 10 minutes or so on this very show, one of the stars in the Rays organization right now. So let's hit the first move. Here comes Kumar Rocker to the show. Finally, on Thursday, he's going to make his debut for the Texas Rangers. First, I just want to give some background. I know you can do it better than I can, JJ, because we were debating this on Foul Territory today. The story of Kumar Rocker going back to his time with the Mets, and you can clarify for me, not showing medicals because you don't have to, but then you get picked. The Mets don't like the medicals. They end up not taking him. Fill in the blanks for us here.
Yeah, exactly that. So basically, the Mets took him first round, and you don't have to share medicals before you're picked. But once you are picked, before you sign, you know, obviously there is going to be medicals, there's going to be exams, and the Mets, for whatever reasons, whatever they saw that they weren't comfortable with, didn't mean they didn't want to necessarily it meant that they were not willing to agree to the deal, the pre-draft deal that they had agreed to with Rocker, that or the parameters, as often are the case with first round picks. So basically, in these kind of situations, the Mets were protected in that they had a pick, they get an extra pick the next year, the spot after that. And then the basically in Kumar Rocker's case, he ended up going higher the next year. And to be note, you know, we should note, then did have Tommy John surgery, which didn't seem like that was necessarily what the medicals. We didn't get ever a full story of what the Mets, understandably, there's a lot of times that's rumor more than it is fact of what they were worried about. But he did miss some time, kind of had a long way back, but here we are. He comes off the Tommy John surgery, has a couple of rusty outings in the complex league, goes to AA, dominates, goes to AAA, dominates even more. His start a couple of weeks ago was pretty much as good as any start you'll see in the minors all year. 16 batters. Retired 15 of them, was just completely in control. And here we are getting ready to watch him make his MLB debut on Thursday.
And it was shoulder, then Tommy John, right? Yes. So you had the shoulder surgery, then the Tommy John surgery. So if you are a club like the Mets and you turn to your doctors, you are saying, okay, there definitely was a problem here. But whatever, we fast forward. Now he's back on a mound and he's going to be on a big league mound. And Ben Badler, what are you expecting from him? Do you think he could be a big deal in the bigs?
Yeah, I expect him to come out right away and – certainly the stuff that he has right now is front of the rotation stuff. Like we talked about, given the injury history, is he going to have the durability to consistently throw 150, 180 innings a year? I don't know. That's hard to say. There's certainly more risk in his case. But right now, he's throwing an upper 90s fastball. So you got to be ready for upper tank velocity as a hitter. And then he's throwing a wipeout slider. I don't know. There aren't many pitchers in the minor leagues or really at any level of baseball right now that have the combination of fastball and slider that Rocker has. It's a hard mid to upper 80s slider, and hitters are just swinging and missing constantly at that pitch. It seems to be unhittable. Now it's AA, AAA hitters. It is upper level hitters, but it's not major league hitters. But I don't see any reason why that level of success is not going to continue even against major league hitters.
JJ, do you feel the same way about the arsenal and what to expect?
Yeah, it's funny when we're talking about the health and all. I think we're seeing the Kumar rocker that we last saw kind of in 2019 when he was utterly dominant through a no-hitter in a do-or-die super regional game against Duke, was just as impressive. Well, I guess not as impressive because he wasn't throwing no-hitter, but dominant in the postseason, you know, in Omaha, helping lead Vandy to a title, and was just basically the biggest, baddest amateur pitcher in the country at that point. We haven't always seen that since then. 21, kind of his draft year, we saw flashes of that, but he wasn't that level of dominant, that kind of stuff every time out. Now we're seeing it. You know, we'll see what he does against big league hitters, but like Ben said, you watch it, what he's been doing, how he's located that fastball, which touched 100, you know, is upper 90s pretty much most of the time, and he's locating it really well. He's commanding it. But it's that slider. That slider's kind of really a downer slider. Sometimes you could even call it a curveball as far as the break, although 85, 86, 87 miles an hour really has more kind of the power of a slider. But the thing that also stands out with me about that pitch is it's a pitch that he's commanding really well. He's using it to righties and lefties, and it's pretty kind of – it's equally effective against both because, again, it's not breaking away as much as it is down. But the other thing about it is even if he misses a little bit with it, it's still not a pitch that even if you make contact with it, it's really hard to square it up. Now, he does have other pitches. I don't want to make it sound like he doesn't have a changeup or anything like that, but it is something where it's that fastball slider combo. If he's getting ahead early in counts, watch out, because the slider especially, he can throw it for strikes, but he can also throw it out of the zone. He can make you chase it, especially if you're gearing up for 97, 98, 99. This is the guy that the Rangers kind of were hoping they were getting when they drafted him. It is kind of crazy to see that the Rangers now have, speaking of Andy, Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker in this rotation. I know we've seen kind of some ups and downs with Leiter in the big leagues. I expect Rocker to have a little bit of a quicker, easier transition to the big leagues just because there's a little bit more margin for error with him than there is with Leiter, because Leiter's really heavily reliant on a four-seam up in the zone fastball that if it's right, he gets swings and misses. If it's wrong, it's a home run.
The only thing I'll disagree with JJ on from what he said there is that I don't think this is the Kumar Rocker of old that we're seeing now. I think as dominant as Kumar Rocker was at Vanderbilt, this is the best version we've ever seen of Rocker. I mean, he's now sitting in the upper 90s. Now, maybe he's not throwing, you know, 7-8 innings like he was at Vanderbilt, but we're seeing a better fastball, and as good as his slider was in college, I think it's an even better pitch now.
Wow. I mean, that's great.
If I could add one thing to that also, the other thing about this is we're seeing control and command from him at an elite level as well. His strike throwing right now, he's getting ahead of hitters batter after batter after batter, outing after outing, and it's not like he's going three either. You know, he's been stretched out again, not it by 2024 terms. You've been seeing him go five innings. So I do think he's kind of ready for this. I think that this is kind of a perfect leaping off point. If you're the Rangers, give him a couple of starts in the big leagues at the end of the season, see what he does. But then it also kind of gives you that chance to kind of evaluate a little bit. Okay, who's our guys for our rotation for 2025? Scherzer's free agent, but they have a lot of candidates, a lot of whom are coming off of injury. And this allows them to have a little bit more of a sense of kind of figuring out, okay, how young do we go? How much do we turn this over to the young guys? How much do we rely on the vets?
Do you remember how crazy it was when he was taken as the third overall pick in 2022? I would say that was one of the more shocking picks in the draft in the last decade, JJ, just based on the fact that he had gone through it with the Mets, was taken 10th at that time. Okay. And usually if you get dinged for medicals, that means you're going to get pushed further back. And the Rangers almost not doubled down, but said, we're not buying it. We feel good about what we've seen from him now for years, that it is worth the risk for us.
And really kind of made that draft. If you look at that draft, it was kind of a lot of teams love to spread their risk out. The Rangers kind of concentrated their risk in a couple of pitchers. And if Kumar Rocker, again, shows what he's showing in the minors, if he does that in the big leagues and does that for the next couple of years even, then they won on that risk. It's a risk when you take a pitcher, especially one who has an injury history. But there aren't many pitchers in baseball who have the kind of stuff that Kumar Rocker does when he's fully healthy. And right now we're looking at a fully healthy Kumar Rocker.
All right, so the global perspective now on the Texas Rangers and where they're at. I mean, you're mentioning two names that have been talked about for years now in the system for Texas, JJ and Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. So where do you think this team is at from an organizational perspective? Do you remember the last time, you know, you did rankings for the team side where Texas was?
They're a little bit, they're kind of middle of the pack, if I remember correctly, because they do have, it's a little top heavy, right? They have Rocker. They have Sebastian Walcott, who just got promoted to double A. Although, you know, again, these late season promotions, good for him. It's also a little bit, class A season's over. You move him up to double A, so he gets to play a little bit longer. But I do look at them and say, there is some star talent here. There's some upper, you know, some really impact, potential impact guys. We moved Rocker into our top 30 and our top 100. That's somewhat how much we think about him and kind of what he's doing right now. And so they do have kind of some star talent here. I would say, again, there's some depth, but I wouldn't say that it's overwhelming depth. But Ben, the other thing that kind of just jumps out to me is this is a team that if everyone's healthy, which was a big if, they have a lot of answers already at the big league club where they don't, like, if between Rocker and Leiter and, you know, maybe they've got some other arms in the system as well, they don't need a ton of help here because if everyone's healthy, they got Seager, they've got Semien, they got Young, they've got Carter, they've got, you know, Langford, who we kind of even forget about because he's now a full rookie year. But there's a lot of young talent here to go with some very, very talented and very high-priced vets.
Yeah, and for years, we've talked about the difficulties the Rangers have had in developing pitching or just keeping pitching healthy. And right now, two of the biggest stories in their farm system are Rocker, obviously, and Alejandro Rosario, who for 2 years had a 7+ ERA at Miami, always had really good stuff, always kind of teased you with his talent. And now, you know, he's developed into one of the better pitching prospects in the game. Emiliano Teodo, Winston Santos, two international arms they've signed, who've taken big steps forward this year too. So it's definitely very encouraging. I don't know, somebody in Texas probably deserves a raise because this is the best we've seen their pitching development, I think, in several years.
Okay, so Texas fans, get excited about Kumar Rocker. I mean, that's top-end stuff if he can bring that to the big leagues and keep himself on the field. Now let's get to some fan questions right now, and we'll start with Jackson. Different kind of question this week. Are you frustrated by the lack of center field cameras in the lower minors?
If you told me that I secretly snuck in and asked a question, this would be the question I would ask because I'm going to try to do them again this year. I can find the time, but I do MILB TV ratings. And the most important thing on that rating is the quality of your center field camera. And the crazy thing you will see in the minors in some cases, and when we do the ratings, you get dinged for this. You'll even see cameras that are set up in right field, right? Kind of like down the, they're between right and right center. I would say right center, let's say, which doesn't seem like it would be that weird, but it kind of breaks your brain when you see it because yes, there are big league cameras that you'll see like that center field camera where it's not directly online at center field. It's kind of more in, you know, more in that left center area, but you don't see it in the big leagues, a camera in right center. The thing that kind of just stands out with this is that the best thing to make a broadcast great, and you know, Scott, you're the expert here more than I am on this, but you're on that center field camera so much that if it's located well and it's a good, sharp center field camera, especially for a college or a minor league broadcast, it makes a world of difference. Because if that one's bad, man, it's going to be painful for 200+ pitches a game.
Also, am I off on this, but shouldn't there be kind of like an exact coordinate these days where you just know where to position it, that it kind of lines things up the right way? So there's got to be some AI-ness to this. But yeah, this is even beyond how I know the setup works. Because yes, I can watch games with the best of them, JJ, but I do not know what the setup process is like to make sure it's perfect for everyone.
In some parks, it is a little difficult because, again, especially if you're taking up and down, depends on where your batter's eye is, depends on what you're mounting it to. A lot of times these minor league cameras, that's not a person out there. That's a fixed camera that's set there. And so you have to have some access to it. But that being said, the best broadcast out there, and I've kind of highlighted some of them. West Michigan's one that I've shouted out before, because those best cameras out there are what I would describe as MLB caliber, in that you have a sharp HD camera positioned medium high in center field, directly lined up between the pitcher and the batter. If you have that, it's going to be a very fun day to watch, because again, when you're watching minor league games, you want to see the movement of the pitches and all. If you have that straight on shot where everything's in focus and you can see how the pitches move, that's vastly different than the other downside you see sometimes is if you see a really low angle where, oh, the shortstop's kind of edging over a little bit to cover second base, I can't see the strike zone because it's blocked by the shortstop. There are a lot of things that can get in the way if you don't position it well.
I don't know about you, but I love fall. Fall is a time where the weather just feels perfect from the start of the day to the end. It's a great time for me to get on a bike, take a good long ride where it's nice and crisp, not cold, but crisp. And it's time for new fall traditions, like getting regular hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do. And they've combined their popular peach flavor with the highly requested blackberry to awaken your senses and keep you coming back for more. Liquid IV makes my workouts more enjoyable. It's really easy to prep. I just take my water bottle, fill it with water, some ice, pour in the Liquid IV, stir it up. It's ready to go. It gives me better hydration than I would if I was just using water. It's something that just makes those bike rides even more enjoyable than they were before. Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers energy comparable to 1 to 2 cups of coffee through about 100 milligrams of naturally occurring caffeine. Experience the deliciousness of one of our best-selling flavors, peach, perfectly paired with the highly requested blackberry. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall tradition with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BA2022 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BA2022 at liquidiv.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true for even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got 2 dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's BADLANDSFOOD.com/baseball.
All right, we're ready to go. Let's bring in our guest. Our special guest today on Hot Sheet is Trey Morgan in the Rays organization, who was also named August Player of the Month in the Rays org. And we saw him back at the prospect pad before the Futures game. Trey, great to see you again. How's everything going since then? Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, everything's good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Great to have you. So get me set on what your mindset's like at this point in the season to finish strong and with some playoff baseball on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited taking this last week. Hopefully, like you said, finish strong and get my first taste of playoff baseball in the minors, because last year I was not able to play in the playoffs because I got hurt. So just going into my first playoffs, I'm excited.
Trey, great to see you again. As you look, kind of the season's not over yet, but it's pretty close. You've got to, I assume, feel pretty good about kind of how this has gone, both, you know, individually, obviously as a team, The Rays are having a lot of success in the minors. You were part of multiple teams that now are going to be busy playing in the playoffs. But when you look at it from your own perspective, what are you kind of most proud of now? Here we talking in September about how you've kind of worked through the season, how you've improved compared to where you were maybe in March and spring training.
Yeah, definitely. I'm impressed with myself, the shape that my body's in. When I first walked into spring training, I was definitely not prepared for 132 games. My body just wasn't ready for it. But that's why you go through spring training, and it got me ready. And thankfully, knock on wood, I've only suffered like a little minor hiccup injury this year. And hopefully I can finish out strong and healthy.
Trey, obviously you've been having a tremendous season at the plate, but one of the things that consistently comes back talking to scouts or coaches about you is your defense at first base. We've always heard great things about your defense at first base, which is not always common for a first baseman. Usually everybody talks about their hitting and their power, but has defense always been an emphasis for you earlier in your life at first base, or was there a kind of a turning point for you where things took off for you on the defensive side? What's kind of been the key for your progress on that end?
Definitely. As long as I can remember, my dad has told me that defense is very important at first base. Usually you just kind of stick the big bopper at first base and, you know, hope for the best in travel ball. But once, you know, my dad realized that I was going to be left-handed and I was going to play baseball and play first base, he was like, you're going to be the best first baseman that I know. And we went out there every day and worked on that, and it's paying off.
So, Trey, before you joined the show, we were talking about Kumar Rocker coming up and making his big league debut. And I know you did get the face, and you were a freshman, if I remember right at the time.
I did, yes.
But I also want to say, and you battled him, got a hit against him, but what do you remember about – I'm sure you probably crossed paths with him at some, you know, at different points as well. But, like, you know, having faced Kumar before, what, you know, do you remember anything about that? You know, 1-for-3, which is a pretty good day when you're a freshman facing a draft-eligible Kumar Rocker.
Yeah, definitely. We had our little pregame meeting in in our room, in our video room, and he was, you know, on the mound. We were watching him pitch, and it didn't hit me yet that, you know, that was Kumar on the mound. Like, I was about to face him until I stepped in there for my first at-bat, and, man, he looked huge just standing on the mound. Like, he was just towering over me. And I was like, ooh, this might be a long day. I did get to – he got to me my first two at-bats, but I got a hit off. I'm proud of that.
Love that. Hey, let's bring in some fan questions. Issa, I'd be interested to know how seeing what Skeens and Cruz have done has impacted Trey. Has their success fueled him, gotten any pointers?
I'd say not really fueled me. It's just awesome seeing the success those two guys are having. I mean, we spent an entire season together going to war every day in that locker room and on that field. So it's so awesome being able to text those guys and ask them, you know, how it is up there. Like, how's the other side? So, you know, they give me a couple pointers. I'm going to be in Baton Rouge this offseason with Dylan for a little bit, and I'm going to ask him, you know, what's the difference? Like, what's it like? So it's awesome to be able to do that.
Let's get another one. This from Champa Bay. Question for Trey. What has he learned so far on or off the field from Carson Williams?
I'd say his defense is hands down one of the best I've ever seen at the shortstop position. I mean, just the way that no matter how he feels the ball off balance or on balance, the way he throws it to me, it's pretty much always at the chest. It's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. And hidden wise, he's told me, you know, not to get too high or not to get too low. This is a struggle. This is sometimes it can be a struggle. This is where major league arms are. So this is where you kind of find out what you're made of. And he's helped me with that.
I have one based off, you know, the Rocker conversation and talking about some of the guys you've faced in the past. What about from this year? Do you have one particular matchup that has stood out, whether it was a great battle or just someone that you faced in the minor leagues where you're like, that dude's going to be a dude in the bigs?
Nobody comes to mind, but I would say it was pretty cool. I got to face Bryce Collins when he was with the White Sox low A organization. That was so funny being able to be in the box and face him, because we were able to face each other during the fall. So many at-bats during the fall I had with him. So that was pretty cool.
Trey, you talked about Dylan Paul. You know, you guys knew going into last year at LSU that you had a chance to have a special team. The key thing is y'all also, you know, y'all pulled it off. But what are those – I mean, I kind of feel like that when y'all looking back at this 10, 15, 20 years from now, y'all are, you know, all gathered back at the new box or whatever box it is at that point, having, you know, having a reunion. There's going to be a – I mean, that's going to be basically also an MLB alumni reunion, I feel like. I mean – how you're facing, you're now on minor league teams and all that, but I kind of feel like the talent that you guys had at LSU last year kind of fits pretty well with that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we knew the first day really when we stepped in that locker room that we had something special. And like you said, just because you have a team like that doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win it all. So it was awesome that we got the chance to experience that together. And I mean, we all still keep in touch. We have a group chat. We named it Natty Champs. You know, we talk to each other a bunch. And yeah, when we get to that reunion in Baton Rouge, that's going to be awesome.
I got one more teammate question for you. Current one in Chandler Simpson. Just wanted to get your thoughts on him eclipsing 100 swipes. I think we talked about it when we were with you in person a couple months ago and he hit the mark.
Yeah, it was funny because we're sitting in the locker room. Obviously, that whole week, you know, he's flirting with the 100. Like, mathematically, it's working out. So I'm sitting in there. I'm like, Chan, you know, I could just walk up there and just start swinging because I'm batting behind him. So I could walk up there and just start fouling pitches off. But no, it's so cool seeing him do that. It's awesome also hitting behind him and watching him battle every at-bat. He's such a good hitter. I mean, he finds a way on base no matter what. So watching him get that 100 steal, it was pretty electric.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, good luck in the playoffs, okay? Finish strong. Do your thing. And thanks for joining us, man. Good to see you again.
Yeah, of course. Again, thank you for having me.
Yeah, awesome. Appreciate you. Thanks, see you, Trey. Trey Morgan with us on Hot Sheet. Okay, that's it for Ben. We're going to bring in Jeff in a sec. Ben, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on another Hot Sheet very soon.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We'll be right back after a little word from HelloFresh.
Pop quiz, AJ. What is America's number one meal kit?
That would be HelloFresh, Scott, and it even works for picky eaters like you. There's an ever-changing menu of 50 recipes to choose from each week. So just select your meals and delivery date, and voila!
Yeah, home-cooked meals just hit different. The recipes are easy to follow with pre-portioned ingredients delivered fresh. Just choose that delivery day. Open your box, cook, and eat. It's so easy, Kratz.
Agreed. With FT every day and my coaching job, I don't have time to search recipes all night and also spending money on a whole jar of spices for only a pinch. Nah, I'm good. My family gets more of me because I don't have to take a last-minute trip to the grocery store at night to find dinner.
Ready for this? For free breakfast for life, go to HelloFresh.com/freeFT. One free breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life just by going to HelloFresh.com/FREEFT.
Hey, we're back, and so is Jeff Ponce to the show here on Hot Sheet as we continue along. A lot of different guests, rotating crew joining us today. So, Jeff, let's get right into a topic that we hit with Trey Morgan, the playoffs in the minor leagues. So, take us through what that means and your vision of what it looks like this year.
Yeah. I thought when you said it was a topic you guys discussed with Trey Morgan, it was going to be my elite flow, but apparently not.
He's got you beat, dude. He's got everyone beat
with my flat balding scalp, but this is what hairlines look like. I think, you know, this is an exciting time of year. I think just from a Baseball America prospect, you know, fiend sort of perspective, it's fun because we see a ton of promotions. We sort of see some of these super teams as we get into the playoffs. I think organizations want to win. I know when I talk to scouting directors and player development directors, et cetera, through different organizations that we cover, it is something that comes up and something that they do take pride in, and something the players and coaches certainly take pride in as well, where I think, you know, there's some monotony to, you know, the minor league season, the day by day. But when you do get to playoff time, you know, there's an end in sight, there's an ultimate goal. And I think that brings the competitive spirit out of a lot of people, including fan bases in these given towns. And it's just a different energy in the ballparks and just even electricity sort of in the games. I'll have some up here next week as Hartford qualified for the Eastern League playoffs. So excited to see that. It's been a while since we've had playoffs up here.
I think there's absolutely a part of this where, I mean, there are different ways that teams win titles, right? Like you can 100%, if you want to keep some veterans at a level below where they're, you know, they should be, okay, maybe you win a title, but teams don't really do that very often because it's just not worth it. So really you do see some of the times the cream does rise to the crop. Having prospects doesn't guarantee you a title, but it is notable that the Rays, you know, there's a story up at baseballamerica.com just did, you know, the Rays have 24 titles. The Yankees have 24 titles in the 21st century at the minor league level, which is pretty remarkable. The Rays have 8 since the minors were reorganized in 2021. So that's 21, 22, 23. And they already have 8 because, and you look at it right now, low A Rays team, high A Rays team, double A Rays team already in the playoffs. There are teams that really do emphasize this. The one I always come back to is when the Royals had that big blue wave coming up of the Hosmers and the Salvi Perez's and the Moustakas's and Yordan Ventura, all those guys, Kelvin Herrera, they kind of try to make a point of having those guys come up together, and they won at multiple levels in the minors. And those guys even talked about when they got to the big league level, you know, hey, one of the things that stood out to them is they were facing guys, in some cases, who they'd seen in the minors, like, hey, we were better than them in the minors. Why wouldn't we beat them in the majors? Turn around a couple of years later, they're in the World Series. The year after that, they're winning the World Series. You do see kind of teams try to keep these prospects together. And the flip side of that is that there are two teams, the Nationals and the Reds, who haven't won a title since 2014 was their last minor league title. They both have teams in the playoffs this year. The Reds have their low A Daytona team and their high A Dayton team. The Nationals have the Fred Nats, the Fredericksburg Nationals, who are in the playoffs. So they're trying to get a first title in quite a while, which I do also think matters. The Astros had a year where they were giving out multiple ring ceremonies in spring training because of the guys who ended up helping them win World Series at the big league level. You do see that talent in the minors wins games that often ends up going on to win games of the big leagues as well.
You know, what's funny is you mentioned the Nationals there, but Nationals won a title in 2019, and I could make a pretty good case that the Nationals are building themselves up nicely, and JJ might win another title before, say, a team like the Rays does, you know? So, like, for all of that success, it definitely helps, and it shows a team that's consistently had talent moving up to the big leagues, right? But it's not necessarily the entire way to build a winning franchise.
Oh, sure. I mean, you look at the Rays case, I mean, you always have the question of, if they could spend $120 million, $130 million, how much different would they be than when they're spending, you know, they're near the bottom? They always are trying to turn over the line, you know, turn over everything. But same time, this Rays system is, again, really good. And I know that they're having kind of a step back this year, but I will give them some credit on that from the standpoint of, you look at the AL playoff picture, when they kind of sold, the question was, are they selling too soon? I don't think if you look at kind of what the third wild card in the AL is going to be, I don't think that they were probably going to get there. And they did kind of restock a little bit. You know, Jeff, that you kind of talked about, you and I have talked a lot about some of these guys they got, the Brody Hopkins and all, are guys who are going to be really interesting to see if they can kind of help this Rays group make another run.
Yeah, and we actually talked about it on the Fantasy Podcast with Dylan last night, some of the research he has done on players who were traded, you know, and then changes they've made post-deadline. Of course, two of the guys that came up were prospects and pitchers that were acquired by the Rays. One being Ty Johnson, who's had some noticeable changes just in terms of release height and some other traits that he's made. Same thing with Jackson Bowmeister in terms of some alterations to his pitch mix as well. I think, you know, what it looks like, it looks like he added a cutter. So they do a lot of interesting stuff at the development level. But I also think there is some continuity that, yes, you know, the Rays haven't won a championship, but you can look and see that they're in, you know, they're in the race outside of this season, pretty much at the end of the year, most of the time. And I think there is some, you know, reflection of winning in the minor leagues. I know it happened with that Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts group in Pawtucket when they won a Triple A championship. So it does, you know, it does often portend, you know, potential success. And I think, you know, winning is contagious. It's, you know, creating a winning culture matters. It's why we see teams that, you know, kind of slowly creep up and then make big jumps after they start to experience winning. Like we saw with the Cubs at the beginning of their run and then win a World Series the next year. I think that's often what happens is you need to know how to win games.
I know it's a little bit of a different topic, but I'll just go against you guys because yes, they're five games back. The Twins have been in a free for all. We spent a lot of time on foul territory today talking about the chances that even the Red Sox could sneak back into the playoff picture. I don't think the Rays were worse than the Red Sox before they traded away, you know, a good chunk of their team just now and told their team that we're done for the year. So just throwing that out there, it doesn't mean they would have won a World Series or anything. But, you know, when you look back now, you're like, is the AL that great this year? I mean, there was a chance for a third wild card. And even if you look at some of the better teams in the American League, besides the Astros, none of them have been playing well for the past 2-3 months at this point. So just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
That part bothers
me. I think more often than not, though, the returns on some of these trades, they pay dividends. I mean, even guys walking, like, you know, I'm looking at Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony last night and realized that both those guys were comp picks for Eduardo Rodriguez walking and Xander Bogaerts, and the amount of hand-wringing over both of those guys leaving the Red Sox and, you know, what the return's going to be a few years later. I mean, it might be what the core of their team is in 2025 and beyond. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, they knew that they weren't winning a championship. And, you know, I subscribe to the Ricky Bobby philosophy: if you're not first, you're last. So
there you go. That's a good way to put it. All right. So let's finish with one more call up here. Thomas Sejesi, who is number 5 in Baseball America's rankings list in the Cardinals organization. He's getting the call. So, Jeff, what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, it was a top 100 prospect coming into the year as well. Slumped pretty hard in the first half of the year. And I think there's some reasons behind that just in terms of the profile that Sejesi has. It's, you know, good contact skills, good bat-to-ball skills. It's a great swing, really optimized contact in terms of when he does make contact. He doesn't put up, you know, eye-popping exit velocities, but really knows how to backspin the baseball to his pull side. Does, you know, more damage than he maybe even should. The biggest question mark with him has really been swing decisions. He's a really aggressive swinger. He's somebody that will, you know, expand the zone and chase a little bit. And I think when you're that type of hitter, we've seen it with, you know, guys at the major league level that have high chase rates, you tend to be, you know, somewhat prone to slumps. And that's exactly what happened with Sejesi. When he gets red hot and he's seeing beach balls, he mashes. And, you know, it's a bat first prospect that has had some time in a few different positions. So there's some versatility here as well. But it's an interesting hitter. And I think if he can refine his approach a little bit, could have a pretty successful long major league career.
Perfect time to give him a tryout for a few weeks, see what he looks like in the Cardinals lineup. So we'll see what happens. Jeff and JJ, thank you. Good to see you both. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you to Trey Morgan, our special guest as well. And Ben Badler, of course, part of the Baseball America family. Get yourself a Baseball America subscription. And if you're watching this video and you're not subscribed to the Baseball America channel, come on, it's free content. Give us a little click. Thank you very much. And we'll see y'all next week on Hot Sheet.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.